Aisling fell through the rain in a land bright and dark, where the edges of contrast were sharp, often bloody. She had thought, even at 13, that she understood the many dangers of this land, where the boundaries of the human and the she realms merged, as only someone who had been trained since birth to rule both worlds could. Now, it was knowing, not understanding, that was carried on the tip of the arrow that had slipped beneath her left shoulder blade on its way to her heart. Launched from her galloping horse, her body attempting to flee the arrow's intrusion, her arc ended abruptly in mud, face down. Then the pain came, an edge flaying her chest from the inside. Riding beside her as he always did, Liam, guardian of the Morrigan twins, twisted on his horse to follow Aisling's unexpected flight. A moment earlier, his attention had been drawn across the clearing ahead, where he had sensed a rush of fear and desire, a sudden movement of iron and a flood of intent. He had thrown his dagger even before the assailant he perceived, a crossbreed like himself. Neither pure human nor pure she had fully emerged from behind the ring of seven standing stones. The knife had caught the attacker just under the chin, lifted him off his feet, and sent his already drawn arrow flying wide. As if a single iron-tipped arrow would ever make it past him and onto her without one of them deflecting it. Now, seeing Aisling land in the mud, he wondered how he could have fallen for such a diversion. The arrow that pierced her back had come from the opposite direction, undetected from the woods behind them. Two of the four guards who had thundered into the clearing with Liam and Aisling wheeled and charged the tree line. The others, swords drawn, surveyed their surroundings while reining in their horses, whose nervous hooves sprayed more mud across Aisling's body. Liam sat calmly, turning his mount to scan the woods, then walking it over to where she lay, the shaft protruding from her back. He had inherited his muscular build from his human father, who was of a warrior clan, while his dignified stature came from his mother, a she, a Celtic term for those the Irish Christian Church called Nephilim, or, more casually, fairies. Leaning a forearm on his horse's neck, Liam studied Aisling. The splattering of rain mixed with the sounds of branches snapping as the guards zigzagged their horses through the undergrowth in a futile search for the second archer.
"Are you going to get up?" demanded Liam. "The High King's waiting for us. We can't dally here all afternoon. You're going to make us late for the full moon ritual, and I don't want to miss the feast. You have to be stronger than this."
Aisling dragged one arm under her chest, then the other, and struggled up to her hands and knees. Water trickled from her deep red hair, leaving pale streaks down the side of her grime-soaked face. Liam could not see her eyes, but knew they would have gone from light grey to vivid green. He also knew that she should be on her feet already. Something was wrong.
"Poison!" Aisling gasped. "In my heart. Spreading. Burning."
"Great Mother Danu!"
exclaimed Liam in frustration.
"I told the king that we should have you in mail already, even if you haven't been enthroned yet."
He reached down and tore the arrow out. She grunted and collapsed back into mud that was beginning to take on a red tint. Her red.
"He thinks if one of you is safe, then the other is too. Well, now he'll grasp that he has too narrow a view of safe."
As a warrior, Liam had to admit that the shot had been remarkable. The archer had to adjust for a target galloping away in the rain. At that angle, the bowman had to miss the shoulder blade and hit the gap between the seventh and eighth ribs to catch the only part of her heart not protected by bone. Shot too softly, the arrow would not reach the critical vessel. Too hard, and the tip would pass through the heart, taking the bulk of the poison with it. He knew of no human archer with such skill. Aisling was back on her hands and knees, head hanging limp. She reached out and fumbled for the dangling reins of her horse. Raising her head, she climbed the reins with both hands until she was standing, clinging to the bridle, shaking. Leem studied the unusual arrow, making no move to help her. It had been carefully constructed to be undetectable even by a cross breed such as himself, whose senses were inhumanly sharp. There was nothing unnatural or even animal to draw his attention, to differentiate it from the wooded background. A hawthorn shaft, he noted. A Celtic assassin would have used elm. No human would dare to cut a hawthorn tree, sacred to the she, not in this land, and suffer the curse that was sure to follow. Instead of feathers, ash leaves, meticulously sliced lengthwise along their stems, were used for flights. The head was made of oak, hardened by centuries buried in a bog and then polished razor sharp. The she archer had to have been a member of an old line assassin clan, or the arrowhead purchased from one at a high price. Few could afford such a rare thing. Sniffing, Leem was surprised that he could not identify the poison, for there had been a lot of it, judging by the warren of small channels drilled into its head. But why bother? Leem wondered. Whoever had staged this attack would have known that Aisling could not be killed, not so long as her twin sister Anya was safe. And Leem always made sure that Anya was protected in a secure room while Aisling was travelling. Were they trying to send a message? He shook his head. No, there had been too much effort and expense. There was serious intent to kill here. Then it hit him. Anya must not be safe. They must have found a way to get to both twins. Leem jumped from his horse, reaching Aisling just as she began screaming. As he held her, his chest too tight to utter any words of comfort, he feared that he must have failed in his duty, his oath to protect the Morrigan twins. He picked Aisling up and carried her to his horse while her screams faded into sobs.